so much sun, I'd put the tropical shirt on, just, you know. So how are you all feeling? Very good, excellent. Strong, empowered, equipped. Ooh, or are you a bit tired? Feeling a bit vulnerable maybe, or even maybe a bit flat? Well, let's see if we can help with that this morning. The last time I spoke, I promised I would share a little about someone who, despite her challenges in life, God has helped her through and has made her into the ambassador that she is. She's called Becky, and I'll tell you a little bit more about her in a little while. But as I was thinking about her, that got me thinking about what God was prompting me to speak about this morning. So with my previous comment in mind, I thought, what's going on in the world right now? Who is it that I look up to? And we know the answer to that one, don't we? Because Mark said it at the beginning, it's Jesus. What is Jesus? How is Jesus, and as Mark said, my hero? Is Jesus my hero? Is Jesus your hero? So let's dig into that a little bit more. So buckle up, get out your face masks and your cape as we take a short look at some of the heroes who have got capes and faith. Thank you, Steve. I know we did this series during Summer Sundays a couple of years back where we looked at this, but I thought it'd be appropriate just to re-remind ourselves and take a look at some of the heroes in the Bible, how they inspire us, and perhaps better understand why they inspire us, and how that relates to us, and listen to this carefully, how that relates to us as modern-day heroes. Think about that. But before we delve into that, let me just ask an important question so we understand what we're considering this morning. What do you think is the difference between an idol and a hero? Heckling is allowed. Anybody? Idol is somebody who worships, who people worship, look up to. And the difference with an idol and a hero? I hope they don't worship them. So I think it's safe to say that an idol is someone who is adored for their characteristics, like their talent, maybe a footballer like David Beckham, or their beauty, Naomi Campbell, the supermodel, or charisma. Now, I was trying to do a bit of research. Who can you say has got charisma? And if you Google it, Saint Google is wonderful. It says that Barack Obama. Now that threw me. Apparently, he was often cited for his skill in clearly conveying his vision on policy to the public. I'm saying nothing more about American presidents. But I think a hero, on the other hand, is someone who's admired for perhaps selfless courage, moral character, or actions that benefits others. And I'm sure there's a lot more other things we could think about if we just spent a bit of time. Would you all agree? Yeah, I think so. So as we're talking about heroes this morning, let me ask you another question. Who's your hero? Have you ever met your hero? Who was it? Why are they a hero? Your hero. And again, tell me, who's got a hero?
Well, mine had to be Jesus, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here
now. Yeah, I'll give you that one. Yeah, it has to be Jesus. So everybody has to answer Jesus if we all love the Lord. But what about a human person, somebody who's in this world, somebody internationally perhaps, or whatever? Your mum. Hold that thought. Your dad. All right. Hold that thought. So here we are. We're starting. I'm going to come back to that. We all have heroes, but some of them could be false. But we like the concept of what they stand for. Typically, if you think about cartoon characters. Help me out, please, Steve. Thank you. you know, they're the sort of people that are typically fighting good against evil, aren't they? But all of those aren't real. None of those are real. Next one, please, Steve. There should be a blank screen. Nope, that'll do. Nope, go back on. So maybe it's somebody from your childhood, like your mum. That's my mum. Maybe it was a teacher at your school. Next one, Steve. Now you might think, why did he put a book up? That's not my teacher. My mum used to be a teacher, and when she retired, she still taught people. She taught people how to pass exams for radio amateur radio hams, and that's the book she wrote. And the next one. Is there anybody in church you would consider to be a hero? Now, I could have put up a picture of any one of you. I'd have been in trouble if I hadn't put Vicky up, wouldn't I? Let's be honest. Do we have heroes in our church? And I didn't want to put somebody up because I didn't want to embarrass you. But do you consider yourself as a hero? But let's be honest. Whoever they are, we love heroes, don't we? Yeah? They rescue people. They stand up for what's right. They do what others won't. Picture of a church. People in church are heroes. But here's the twist. The Bible is absolutely full of superheroes. Not the kind from Marvel Comics. No capes. Well, Joseph had a really flashy coloured coat, didn't he? But I don't think that counts. No laser guns, no spider webs from the wrists or flying around in the skies. But real people with real struggles and a real God. So what defines a hero? Let's just think about some modern superheroes for a second. What makes them heroes? What do you think makes a hero in the modern world?
Their actions.
Their actions, yeah. Anything else? Maybe their courage? A sacrifice that they've made in some shape or form? Willing to take risks? Standing up for others and taking risks at the same time? Overcoming weaknesses. And as we see on the slide there, those exact qualities are found in people in the Bible. But the Bible adds something else into that mix. And that mix is their faith in God. Next one, please, Steve. So let's take a look at David. He was a bit of an underdog, wasn't he? And as we read in 1 Samuel 17, David slays Goliath. And that, I think that picture sort of sums it up. I mean, can you imagine what David felt like when faced with that? Gosh. And I think if we were to really think about it, probably nobody expected him to successfully slay Goliath. Do you think? What were the chances? What were the probability of him doing that, especially with just a slaying at a tiny stone? David wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the strongest, or he certainly wasn't the most experienced because he was a shepherd boy. He wasn't a soldier, but he had faith. And in his faith, he said, "The Lord who rescued me will rescue me from this Philistine." He believed that God would do it. He didn't rely on his strength, he relied on God. And that's what made him a hero. Next one, please, Steve. So for our second biblical hero this morning, I thought I'd look at Esther, a brave hero. And in the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, you can read it where Esther risks, and Kerry said earlier about risks, taking risks. She risked her life to save other people. And that passage says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that I'll say that again, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." She could have stayed silent, but she chose courage. Heroes don't always fight physical battles. Sometimes they speak up when it matters, when the time is right. Is that you? Are you prepared to let things slide when you need to say something? Next page, Steve. Third story is found in Exodus, which we all know about, Moses and the burning bush. Moses, the reluctant hero, who basically said, God, you've got the wrong guy. It's not me. I'm not good enough. I can't speak well. Does that sound familiar to you? I think it may do. I'm pointing at me now. But God used him anyway, didn't he? Because we also, as we saw with David, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I like that. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So, let's fast forward a few thousand years or so. And this is where it gets really interesting. We now know that heroes aren't just in the Bible. They're still around us today. What about the similarities of real-life heroes of those compared in the Bible? I've spoken about one before, a guy called Nick Vujicic. Thanks, Steve. An Australian who was born without any arms or legs. That's him sitting on a table. And that bit there is the vestigial foot. That's all he's got. He calls it his flipper. And when he stands on the table like that, he goes with it. He's quite a comical guy. But what he does, he travels the world sharing his story to other people. I'm going to come back to that in a second. I skipped a page. He's on that table because he's doing a motivational speech, talk to a lot of people. But let's go back. What about the challenges he's had to face all of his life with those sort of disabilities? He was bullied. All throughout his childhood, he was bullied, but he rose above it. But it had a price to pay. At 10 years old, he tried to take his own life. At 10 years old. God hadn't finished with him and saved him. But he must have felt hopeless. If he was feeling that low, he must have felt really hopeless. How could he ever contemplate that he'd be successful in life? What does life hold for him? These are the sort of questions. What does life hold for me? What does the future hold? What can I do? Faith. He found Jesus and hope to other people that are struggling, especially young people and especially young teenage girls with self-image issues. And you can see what he was saying was impacting the girls especially. The boys were crying as well, but the girls especially. And at the end, he met them, and all these girls just came up to him. Just hugged him, because that's what they needed to hear. He once said, if God can use a man without arms and legs, he can use anyone. And he has, and he does. And he there was with the capital H. He has, and he does. So in my eyes, that makes Nick a real-life hero who has listened to God, follows Jesus, and uses his circumstances for the benefit of others. Thank you, Steve. Who is Eye Gaze Girl? She's called Becky. Eye Gaze Girl is her online name because of the way she communicates to the world. And she's the person I briefly mentioned at the beginning a couple of weeks back. And I promised to give you more information about her. She's 24 years old. She currently lives in Dundee, where she is attending university studying applied computing. Becky has and lives with cerebral palsy. She was born, her umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck 3 times, and the hospital staff didn't get it off quick enough. She suffered oxygen starvation to her brain, which gave her the cerebral palsy. She's non-verbal and has faced significant challenges throughout the whole of her life and in her education as well. These are her words from about 5 years ago, where she talks about her educational experiences. My name is Becky Tyler, and yes, she is a distant relative of mine. I am 18 years old, I have quadriplegic cerebral palsy, I'm cheeky, clever and crazy, I love to do drama, my disability has never stopped me from achieving my dreams. I can't talk, so I have to I have a communication aid to help me speak and do lots of other things too. By year 10 in school, I started my GCSE level courses, all level courses, and despite my challenges, I thought that I was doing well. However, in July of that year, we had a moving up day to prepare me for year 11, and I was surprised that I was no longer in the same class as my friends. And the other students in my new class were working at a much lower level than me. When I asked why this had happened, I was told that GCSE exams had changed and they were no longer accessible to someone like me because of my disability. I knew this wasn't true, so my parents questioned it further. We were then told that I wasn't clever enough to do the GCSEs. But I disagreed, so I left school and decided to be homeschooled from then on. I was diagnosed with a genetic dyslexia, and her dad is dyslexic, which no one had picked up before. I would have had dyslexia if I hadn't got the brain injury at birth, and I think I would have had more help with my dyslexia in that case, but my brain injury kept being blamed for my bad spelling. I'm going to show you a video of Becky. She goes to Greenbelt, which is the Christian event which is held somewhere every year, and she's speaking on it. Excuse me a second. It's taken from somebody's phone, so the quality of the image is not particularly good, and the audio is not particularly clear because there's PAs over here and the guy with the phone is filming it. So please excuse the quality, but just try and listen to what she has to say and how she copes and what she does. It's about 4 minutes of a much longer section that she did. Thanks.
I would like to tell you a bit about myself. I have quadriplegic cerebral palsy. Things went wrong when I was born and I cannot breathe. My brain had no oxygen for a long time and I nearly died. Cerebral palsy means that some of my brain does not work properly. My brain can't control the muscles in my body. I can't sit up on my own, and I can't stand up or balance or walk. I find it hard to eat, and I can't talk with my mouth. So I'm using a communication aid to help me speak, like Stephen Hawking does, but I think mine is much nicer. Ways of doing the things that you can do. I drive this wheelchair to help me get around. I have a special tube in my stomach to give me food and drink. I control this computer with my eyes, a bit like other people might use a computer mouse. This enables me to speak and do lots of other things too. I have to rely on my family and personal assistants to help me with everyday tasks, which can be very frustrating because I would rather be able to do these things myself. I could look at my life and feel useless because there is so much I cannot do. We have to sing this song. God's love is great. God's love is wonderful. God's love is big enough for you and me. I used to feel that God didn't love me as much as other people because I am in a wheelchair and because I can't do lots of the things that other people can do because of my disabilities. I felt this way because I did not see anyone with a wheelchair in the Bible, and nearly all the disabled people in the Bible get healed by Jesus, so they were not like me. Then my mum showed me a verse from the Bible. It's in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. It says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. Its wheels were all ablaze, yeah! God's throne was white. God is a wheelchair. This made me so happy. Hooray! So now I know that God loves me a lot. Just because I can't do a lot of the things that everyone else can do, it does not mean that God doesn't love me as much as everyone else. And God wants us all to know that He loves us just the way we are, and it does not depend on what we can do. In the story when Jesus is feeding many thousands of people, I relate to the boy who probably felt small and insignificant in such a big crowd. He didn't have much to give Jesus, only 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. Sometimes I feel like there isn't much I can give to Jesus, because there are lots of things I cannot do. But the boy in the story was obedient to God, and he gave the little that he did have to Jesus. And Jesus multiplied it. So although there are lots of things I cannot do, I am grateful for all the things I can do, like using this computer to help me talk.
So you can see from that she's faced and overcome social barriers, misunderstanding and challenges that many of us will never experience. She's relied on God and she speaks publicly, as you've just seen. She shares her faith and she encourages inclusion and dignity wherever she goes. And she shows us that our life isn't based on ability, but our identity in God. She's someone I'd like to really meet. I haven't met her before, but I hope and pray I will do one day soon. If she can do it, I'm not saying anymore. If she can do it, if Nick can do it, if the people in the Bible can do it, what's holding us back? So let's start to draw this to a bit of a conclusion. What do these heroes have in common? Let's connect the dots between David and Esther and Moses and Nick and Becky. What do they all share? It wasn't about perfection. It wasn't about their power, and they certainly didn't have an easy life. It was about faith. It was about their courage, and most importantly, their trust in God. And when I think of heroism, in God's terms, I think of Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for the good, to build them up. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 also says, it's a well-known one, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I believe we can all agree that these are solid biblical definitions of a hero. Carl Jung, if I pronounce his name properly, was a Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst, and he once said, "I am not what happened to me, I am what I choose to become." So in all of our examples this morning, our heroes made a decision in faith on how they were to shape their future. Their circumstances are temporary chapters. It's not their final story, because the two real life people we've just looked at, Nick and Becky, their story's still going on. They've still got lots to give. They're still serving. They're still giving out to the community and wherever they go to give hope and encouragement to others. It's not what happens to you. It's how you react to it that matters. And if we do that as we seek God's will for us, then what's stopping anyone from becoming a hero? We've seen that heroes come in all shapes and sizes and from all walks of life. And there's a quote from a 1988 film that says, "I've just seen somebody shake their head, but I bet somebody thinks that they do." Just because you don't doesn't necessarily mean that others don't. Because it's the way that we are as followers of Jesus that make other people think there's something about you. You're going over and above what anybody else that I know will do. You are sacrificing your time, your gifts, your talents, whatever it is, however small it is, to them, you're their hero. Take that. Receive it. Weakness changes to strength when it's done God's way. Not our way. I'm nothing without Jesus. Amen. I think that was a compliment, Adrian. I'll say that again. I'm nothing without Jesus. Can't do it in my own strength. So going back to my earlier question, who is your hero? Is it your parent? Is it a friend? Is it someone in this church? And as I've just said, maybe you've never even thought of it that way, never thought of yourself that way. But here's the challenge for each and every one of us. What if God is calling you to be a hero? That's the second gulp of the morning. What if God is asking you to be a hero? What does that mean for you to become that hero? Obviously not with a cape, but it'll be things like kindness, courage, faith, compassion, maybe taking the risks, maybe some personal sacrifice that you have to make, which in human terms you think, I can't do that, but when God's in charge, you can. Micah 6 verse 8 says, or tells us, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. That again is hero material, isn't it? Last one, please, Dave. So could it be you? The kitten on the left sees a lion. What's the child on the right seeing? What do you see when you look in a mirror? What do you recognize in you that says, I am different because I love Jesus? And because of that, I can do what God is calling me to do. It might be scary, getting out of that old boat, stormy waters. The world tells us that heroes are strong and fearless and extraordinary. But God says, heroes are those that trust him. David had a sling. Moses had a stick. Esther had a voice. Nick has no limbs, but he uses his voice, the one thing he has got. Becky's got no voice, but she uses a computer. But she is an ambassador to others. She's reaching out for those that, in her eyes, are worse off than she is. But yet God uses every one of them. So, who's your hero? But more importantly, who is God asking you or calling you to become? Who is God asking or calling you to become. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you don't look at us the way the world does. You see potential, you see purpose and possibility in each and every one of us. Help us to trust you, to step out in faith, and to show us how to be heroes in the lives of others. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mark.